Actually, let's blitz Stugatz down in South Beach, Miami. I want to blitz his book. When is the book coming out?
Personal record book?
Personal record book.
Yeah.
The Real Winners and Losers in Sports is available right now on Amazon.
Yeah.
The Real Winners and Losers in Sports.
But
well, I have to think.
You don't know about this. So when Kevin Durant won a championship, he said in his personal record book.
He's a loser.
Yeah, he didn't have a championship.
He didn't have a championship.
And I know you would take umbrage with something
like
that.
No, yeah, I'd take offense to that. Just like when Nick Friedell comes on the show and says, well, the fourth championship for the Golden State Warriors, that was their bonus championship. Man, a championship's a championship. Bonus or not. You think the Dolphins are crying? They can't even win a damn playoff game. A playoff game. But let me guess, Stugatz is losers. It's got to be the New York Jets, right? Stugatz, good morning. Thanks for joining us on the River Islands Guest Line, man.
Good morning, guys. The one consistent thing over my 40 years of sports fandom is, yes, the Jets are losers, big-time losers. Listen, the Kevin Durant take, which is something I said back at ESPN, and really the genesis of why I was able to write a book. Like I meant it then, and I mean it right now. I'm going to say it to you guys again. It flies in the face of everything we teach our kids about competition, about working hard, about staying loyal to your teammates. He left a team he couldn't beat and joined that team. That's not what you're supposed to do. It's not what sports is all about. And therefore, Kevin Durant has never won a title in my personal record book. Oh,
I mean, this is coming from the guy who had season tickets for the Big Three. Come on, Stu. It's a little, rife with hypocrisy.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I love you, though.
No, but listen, they're up 3-1. He's in Oklahoma City. They're up 3-1, Western Conference. It's a little bit different than LeBron coming down here, teaming up with Wade and Bosch. They're up 3-1. Kevin Durant is one of those players. He's a generation. Now you're getting me started again.
Stugatz, I'm going to shut this down. I'm not going to let you see Shasky. See, my problem with Shasky sometimes, he lets you out-of-towners come on this show and really represent. And then he sides with you guys. And he forgets his allegiances to the Bay Area fandom. No, he'll come on again because he likes pushback. I'm going to push back because I love. Look, trust me, I read the Heat Index every damn day. I read it every day on ESPN.com.
This guy works for the Warriors.
No. I don't work for the Warriors.
Like
I work for 95.7 and NBC. They do not sign my checks. They never sign one of my checks. Well, actually, that's not true. They signed a couple of checks on some side projects. But that's not my point. LeBron, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade plotted for 2 years. So you mean to tell me the 65-win Cavaliers are playing the Boston Celtics and LeBron's already thinking about eating shrimp and lobster in South Beach, Miami? That's not right.
All right, I'm glad you've engaged me, okay? This is fantastic, all right? And we'll get to Jimmy Butler here in just a second. Here's the comparison that I think might work for you. Imagine if, and I wrote this in the book, imagine if Michael Jordan, after not beating the Pistons for the second or third consecutive year, decided, you know what? I'm done with Scottie. I'm done with Horace Grant. I'm done with Phil Jackson. I can't beat this Piston team. So what I'm going to do is not work harder, not add pieces, not come back and try again. I'm just going to join the team that I can't beat. Can you imagine the reaction if Jordan did that? But he didn't do that. He came back. He worked hard. They added pieces. And eventually, he slayed the dragon. Durant wasn't willing to do that.
Well, let me tell you something, Stugatz. Number one, yeah, I know you would
love that take.
This is why. This is why it's a great take, but it doesn't work.
Because
Michael Jordan would never agree to leave Chicago for dismal-ass Detroit. And you got to remember, Kevin Durant spent his whole life in Oklahoma City where they have 5 stoplights. And he's like, wait, I get to go to the Bay Area? Napa Valley? Wide country? Silicon Valley? Come on, Stugatz.
The weed.
Oh, man, we got the best edibles out here, Stugatz.
At the time, Kevin Durant was he's a generational player. At that time, he was such a great player that Silicon Valley would have moved to Oklahoma City. if that's truly what he wanted, he could have had it just staying in Oklahoma City.
But what about the weed, Stugatz? What about the weed?
Stugatz was all about the weed.
Well, listen, you got me on the weed. I mean, you did. I mean, you guys have the it's the reason I keep coming out there. I mean, that's how good it is.
All right, still, Jimmy Butler. You guys have had a front row seat. This guy, he's such a character. It's so funny. I remember when you guys got him, your whole show was going crazy, and rightfully so. I mean, he dragged you guys to the finals. He's been an unbelievable playoff elevator. Like, he gets to the playoffs, and he becomes a total different version of himself. What has happened the last, I don't even know, year, couple weeks, months? I mean, does he ever play another game with the Heat? I don't even know.
oh, I think he's done with the Heat. What you have is a clash of two massive egos, one of an older generation in Pat Riley, one of a younger generation in Jimmy Butler. It's fascinating because Jimmy Butler, it really is. Now, I've been giving Dan a hard time because he's talking too much about Jimmy Butler when we have a Super Bowl coming up here a week from Sunday. But it is a fascinating story when you really kind of break it down, because Jimmy Butler, when he arrived in Miami, was never, ever a guy that anyone thought, if he's your best player, you have a chance at winning an NBA championship. No one thought that about Jimmy Butler when he arrived in Miami. What happens when he gets to Miami? That Heat culture thing, it takes over, and Jimmy Butler becomes the best version of Jimmy Butler, the basketball player, that we've ever seen. All of a sudden, Jimmy Butler went from a guy where, if he's your third best player, you have a really good team, to Jimmy Butler, wow, he's your best player, and you can get to the finals two times in 5 years and make it to a couple of Eastern Conference finals as well. Now, they didn't win any of those championships, but Jimmy Butler has been a different Jimmy Butler. Who gets credit for that? Is it Pat Riley? Is it the Heat? Is it Jimmy Butler? I'm going to say it's the Heat and the culture and the way Eric Spoelstra coaches Jimmy Butler. That's what, so they view it as, hey, we've gotten the best version of Jimmy Butler that anyone has ever seen. He's in commercials. He's a rock star, right? And so you have Jimmy Butler saying, yeah, that's great. Then give me an extension. Well, he just gave him an extension. Jimmy can opt in next year if he wants. He just stay quiet and opt in to make $56 million next year. And that's really where we're at. Like, the Heat, they don't want to be on the hook for a guy who they feel like is probably past their prime. They've probably gotten all they could get out of Jimmy Butler, and they're not going to budge on this. And so what do you have to do? You have to figure out a way to get rid of Jimmy Butler, because you don't want to be stuck with a guy who doesn't want to be here, who's going to cost you $56 million next year. I happen to side with the Heat on this one. I do, while also understanding, I'm going to play both sides here, understanding why it is Jimmy Butler feels like he deserves more money.
Stu Gotts here on the River Islands guest line, as all guests on 95.7 The Game. But here on the River Islands guest line, is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Check out his book, Stu Gotts personal record book, The Real Winners and Losers in Sports, available right now on Amazon. I'm about to download it as he gives this next answer about how Jimmy Butler is viewed by teammates and the fans out there in Southeast Miami. So first, his teammates seem to be playing well. They had a big win against Orlando the other night, but also the fans. We know the fans can turn on you in a heartbeat. What is it like down there in Miami with the Jimmy Butler situation when it comes to his teammates and his fans, Stu Gotts?
The fans can turn on you in a heartbeat. They've turned on Pat Riley. Like, it's
damn.
Pat Riley, I mean, it's what he has done for the city of Miami and that organization is crazy. Listen, Jimmy is beloved by the fans. They love Jimmy. Again, he's a guy. The bar wasn't as high as it was for LeBron, Bosh, and like, this was the bounce back. Remember this, guys. This is LeBron going back to Cleveland, Wade past his prime, Bosh gets, you know, he gets sick and he doesn't play anymore. And you're like, how are the Heat going to bounce back from this? And the answer was Jimmy Butler. And no one thought that was going to be the answer. So, you know, the Heat fans, they have grown to love everything about Jimmy Butler, except what's going on right now. Here's the problem, though, for Jimmy Butler. They love Pat Riley and that organization more. And so I do think the teammates, they respect Jimmy. They love Jimmy. But I do think they want not Jimmy to go away, just the drama to go away, because they seem to play better when Jimmy's not in the lineup. They seem to be a bit more relaxed when Jimmy's not there. And so if you're asking me, you know, where do the fans come down on this? Where do the teammates? I think the teammates just want to walk into a work atmosphere every day that doesn't have this involved in it. And then with the fans, they want what they always want. They want to win. And so Jimmy Butler came close to winning, never got them to the ultimate, you know, to the peak, to winning a title, but he's come close. But Jimmy's past his prime. And so fans at this point, I think, have sided with Pat Riley and the Heat. The Heat were good before Jimmy got here. They'll be good again after Jimmy leaves. And I think everyone has the utmost confidence in Pat Riley. So if you're asking me how it's divided down here, I would say kind of 80-20 towards the Heat.
Yeah, so it's interesting because you guys went through this. Like, once LeBron leaves, you guys just, you're chasing the high. You're like hung over from being the epicenter of sports, the Miami Heat, the Heatles. That's what we were the last decade with the Golden State Warriors. And I feel like a lot of Warrior fans are struggling to come to grips with it, you know, and obviously you're seeing Steph start to decline. From the outside perspective, if I pair up whatever combination, Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry, does that do anything for you as someone who watches the league from afar, like the Warriors from afar? Does that do anything for you? Because Warrior fans are just, we're big whale hunting, and we just want big names. That's all we want.
Jimmy with Steph, I mean, does that get you out of the wet? No. Like, there's no combination, not in Phoenix, okay? Like, that's not going to work. I'm sorry. Jimmy Butler's not going to be the piece that gets Kevin Durant and Devin Booker into the NBA Finals. Like, I don't see that working. There's too much competition. Like, I wonder what you guys think about this. You have some really good teams. You have the Cavs. You have Oklahoma City. You have the Celtics, the defending NBA champions. The Knicks are a lot better. There are the Spurs are coming on here. Like, I just can't imagine that there's a team that is looking for a big-time player, and Jimmy Butler is certainly that, where Jimmy Butler's going to go there and that team is going to even make it to the NBA Finals. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I don't see it in the Western Conference, considering what cost a team. And Jimmy Butler plays a particular brand of basketball.
Denver's still there.
Denver's still around, but they love to move the ball. Jimmy loves to hold it. What would Denver have to trade? Like, what? I guess that's the point we're at now. What is the asking price for Jimmy Butler now? Because we heard reports yesterday, Stu Gotts, that the price has dipped. It's diminished after he's been suspended for the third time.
So the reports right now are that the Heat are willing to take a little bit less than they were originally willing to take. And that's for obvious reasons. They don't want to be stuck with a $56 million opt-in player who might just do it because he's pissed off at the franchise, you know? And so, listen, I have to think that the Heat and Pat Riley are going to get a deal done. And whatever team gets Jimmy Butler is going to get him at a discounted price, meaning they're not going to have to give up that much because the Heat are desperate right now and they just want to get rid of Jimmy Butler. For me, I just can't imagine. Maybe it's Denver. I don't think so. I don't think Denver has enough. I just cannot see a team where Jimmy Butler, who's gotten accustomed to being the number one guy down here in Miami, is going to go out to Golden State and play ball with Steph Curry. Like, I just don't. Jimmy wants the ball, and you're right. If it's a fluid offense with ball movement, that's not what Jimmy's been doing down here. Playoff Jimmy is Jimmy takes over the game. Jimmy will dribble, 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 take a shot, 8 seconds left on the shot clock. He ain't interested in moving the ball around, okay? Like, so, when it gets to Jimmy, it ends. It stays with Jimmy. And so unless guys converge and then he makes the passes in the paint. But I just think the Heat got the best Jimmy Butler years that they're going to get. They know that. And Pat Riley is, listen, you might not like it, but Pat Riley is saying, hey, I got the best out of you. You ain't getting any better than this, and now it's time to get rid of you. And that's business, man.
Yeah, no doubt. Just hypothetically, what does it look like Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green every single day? My God. I mean, because Draymond's crazy. God. I mean, we cover him every day. We could bring Draymond up every single day and half for a decade, and he's just he's one of the most polarizing players we've ever covered.
Nobody lights up the lines like Draymond Green.
It's unreal.
It's unreal. Jimmy Garoppolo and Draymond Green, the two most polarizing guys in Bay Area sports history. It's not even funny.
What? Jimmy Garoppolo?
Dude, I'm telling you. Stu Gotts, we throw the number out on Jimmy Garoppolo. You spent hours talking about it. We're still talking about Jimmy Garoppolo.
Is he good? Is he not good? Is he great? Is he a loser? Is he a winner? I mean, Jimmy G, is he dating porn stars? Right. Do you want your quarterback dating porn stars?
Steph Curry could have dropped 60 last night, and we would have got maybe 5 calls. Seriously.
That is unbelievable. The guy who should be polarizing is Kyle Shanahan. I'm not certain he's a good coach.
Well, he's up there, too.
You don't think he's good?
Hey, well, he's up there, too.
How about you win a Super Bowl? I mean, seriously. How about you win a Super Bowl? I also think he's allergic to good quarterbacks. Like, he loves having Jimmy Garoppolo, and he loves having Brock Purdy, because people always say, oh, look, there's Kyle Shanahan, the genius. He got to the Super Bowl with Garoppolo. He got to a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy. And then when he loses those Super Bowls, Kyle Shanahan can always point to the fact that he doesn't have an elite quarterback. I mean, ridiculous.
Speaking of which, coaches, you were part of the full Robert Saleh experience with the New York Jets.
Yeah.
We're kind of lukewarm on him coming back because we want a scheme change. He's but laughing. I remember after week one, Stu Gotts, they got blasted by the Niners who won 6 games. And you're like, fire this guy right now. Fire him. So were you laughing at Niner fans being all excited about Robert Saleh coming back?
Yeah, I just laugh at fans in general because we're crazy, all of us.
Thank you. Thank you.
We are so crazy.
Like, I understand it. I understand why they're excited that Robert Saleh would come back, even though it means nothing. It's just a guy who's coming back to the Bay Area and a guy that they love that helped them do some winning. So I understand it. I imagine if Patrick Ewing decided to come out of retirement today and be excited as a Knicks fan. I'd be like...
See,
We're all crazy, guys. And listen, I like the Jets. I don't know what to do with that. Like, I'm not certain they got it right. They never get it right, so it doesn't matter, you know?
It's funny that you say that because he gets mad at me, my partner over here, because I go, look, dude, like, I pivot, I don't panic. So an opinion last week doesn't mean that's an opinion today. Like, it's like the real estate market. Things are going up, things are going down.
Dude,
and so he gets mad at me because I'm hot and cold on certain players. That's the life of a sportsman. But he'll hit a couple shots.
He runs hot, Stu Gotts. He runs very hot.
That's what we
brags
do.
Brags about it. And then when it becomes cold, he won't bring it up for 3 weeks. And I got to sit here saying, oh, he's not going to bring it up today.
I'm
not
going to
bring it up tomorrow.
I'm
not going to bring it up the next day. And then finally when I bring it up, he gets upset. So, you know, I get it. I understand it. I understand it, but somebody's got to be rational around these parts.
That is sports fandom 101. He's allowed to do that. That's why sports fans are crazy. That's why we love this thing so much. There have been many Sundays where on one drive I wanted to cut the Jets quarterback, and on the next drive he's the greatest Jets quarterback in the history of the organization. There have been many games where I wanted to fight, many drives, many quarters where I wanted to fire my head coach. And then the next quarter, he's the greatest head coach in Jets organizational history. So, listen, we're fans. We don't care much about facts. We careen around, and that's what we do. And so sometimes, yeah, he's the greatest player I've ever seen. But the very next day, or the very next hour, in my case, he could be the worst player you ever seen. And so I don't blame him. That's what you do. That's a good job out of you.
That makes me Dan Levitar, though.
Well, you're the one.
So that's money for everybody.
It's much more fun to eat cigars.
It is.
You do look like you stress out Levitar.
Except when I never get a FaceTime on television or a lifeline thrown to me, and this guy's over here dropping my name. I'm like, just throw me on the tube every now and then.
He gets FaceTime more than he thinks. He gets his name plastered on television. Nobody even knows who he is. He gets his name every. Bully brings him up unsolicited. You know, Shasky. The board is going to be going crazy. I mean, he gets all the love. All the love, Stu Gotts.
He wants some television.
He wants my job. This ain't good enough.
None of that is enough for him. He wants some away from that. You know that.
It's never enough, Stu Gotts.
I'll be honest with you, and you probably know this somewhere deep in the recesses of your brain somewhere, okay? But he wants all of your stuff.
Trust me. Okay? Oh, I know. Hey, I got to tell a story because it's so funny. No, I'm not going to tell. Maybe I'll tell it to you guys. So we have these award shows every year, the Doobie Awards, and it was great time. Yeah. And so we gave Bob Byers an award for one of his guest appearances. He noticed it dropped. It was like, stop mid-sentence. It's like, hold on, don't drop that on me. I'm not name dropping. Anyway, he listens.
He's Pat a faithful Riley listener. To your guys
so
show.
I asked Bob Myers, I said, hey, man, can you do me a favor, man? Leave a voicemail on my phone. So Bob calls me. He's talking about ESPN and Stephen A and all this, yada, yada, yada. And out of nowhere, Shashi goes, hey, Bob, if you just want to leave a voicemail on my phone, go ahead and do that. I'm on the phone with Bob. That's who some Stu Gotts. I do know he wants everything of mine. He wants my car. Hell, he may want my daughter. Who knows?
Oh, well, I think that's too far.
I mean, a little too far.
You got carried away, but I understand why. It's for three. That's what we do.
Hey, where can we get your book one more time? For people that are out there, Stu Gotts' personal record book, where should they go get it?
So the audio version is out now, and thank you to everyone who has purchased it, who has supported it. It's been, I never thought I would write a book, but we did. Here we are. I wrote a book. I'm an author now. I have written one more book than Dan Levitard. To put words on pieces of paper when he got into this industry, I did not, and yet here I am with the book. Amazon, anywhere you buy your books, the audio version just came out about a week ago. I'll have a ton of copies with me, Radio Row in New Orleans. Hopefully, I don't know if you guys are going. If you are, I will give you a couple of copies. But it's exciting. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a unique experience. And check it out, StuGottsBook.com. Go to Amazon as well and audiobooks as well.
Stugatz, Odyssey's broke. Well, they're not sending us down to New Orleans. I mean, come on, give me a break. We don't even have a parking spot, bro.
We pay for parking here. Go figure.
Get out of here. You don't pay for parking. Get out of here.
We pay for parking.
That's why he wants a TV job. He knows he doesn't have to pay for parking.
If they're hiring. Do they need a San Francisco branch?
Listen, that is amazing that you pay for parking. Do you expense it? Like, how does that work?
Expense? Yeah. What is that word?
You know what? Here's what I hate about companies. They make the expensing portion of it so difficult that it makes you not want to expense anything. No, you know?
It's such a grueling process. You're so right about that. By the way, they wanted us to take...
Can I tell you I spent $2,500 on my trip and you just give it back to me? I mean, whatever happened to trust?
They wanted us to take Spirit Airlines in Las Vegas last year for the Super Bowl. Yeah. Oh, we found these cheap flights. Say, yeah, we want our luggage in Sin City to enjoy the Super Bowl, for crying out loud. But the Super Bowl is a sore spot. We hate the Eagles. Yeah. We hate the Chiefs. It's better we just stay off of Bourbon Street altogether. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for coming on.
Listen, you live in heaven. Like, why would you come over to New Orleans and let that overrated head coach of yours made it to another Super Bowl?
Hey, we got the Stugatz stamp of approval anyway. Our weed is good out here, so why leave? It. Anyway, Stugatz, man, you're the man. We appreciate it, man.
Listen, here's what I'm thinking, guys. I'm thinking about coming to you. Forget about New Orleans. I'm thinking about San Francisco because that butt is so damn good, man.
Stay away. You'll be broke.
We don't have parking for you when you get here. Just let you know.
I ain't paying for parking.
And the vanilla latte may cost you $15 for a medium. Yeah. So there it is.
Who's your boss? Is Nahagian your boss?
Oh, yeah.
He's got to fix the parking situation. That is an embarrassment. Ashamed of himself, Matt Nahagian. Well,
He's taking the ferry.
But he's also trying to save a buck because our old studio, the thermostat, broke. And so he said, hey, we're going to move soon. No need to fix the thermostat. We're baking in the studio for 2 years moving. When it's 90 degrees, wearing flip-flops at 6 in the morning. And now we got a broken thermostat over here. So things just falling apart here at Odyssey.
I got to tell you something, guys. Now I'm concerned about you, and I'm thinking about doing. You know that show Bar Rescue, where the guy walks in. I'm going to do Radio Rescue because you know, damn, your producer couldn't even call me. The phones aren't even working there. I have to call him.
He's Radio from the Rescue. U, too.
We may have to steal that for Stugatz. Stugatz, you got plenty of money. You were Levitar, man. God. We need the money. Hey, we need to start Radio Rescue.
Need you the next 25 years with Bonte. Let's do it, huh? San Francisco.
We have an idea here. And don't you guys dare steal it, okay? I will include you in that idea of Radio Rescue. We're going to go station to station, and together, the three of us are going to save radio.
I love it.
Stugatz, we appreciate the time as always, man. Thanks for the laughs.
All right, guys, I appreciate it. StuGatzBook.com. Everyone, San Francisco, go buy it. Your coach is overrated. Thanks.
StuGatz's personal record book. I mean, the real winners and losers in sports.
What a legend.
That was a lot of fun, man.
I love that.